Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'd like to read in two passages of the Word of God. First of all, in Luke chapter 1, please. Just a few verses in Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. And it's the words of the angel Gabriel spoken to Mary. So we'll break into the reading at verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, we want to pick up on that little statement in verse 32, "He shall be great." And if you come back with me to the book of the Psalms, please, and Psalm 145. Now, we won't read the whole psalm, but what we would find is that the psalmist tells us seven things that the Lord is. And we'll read just the first few of those. Verse 1, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works." If we just read down a little bit to verse 17. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And we look to the Lord to bless this reading from his word. I'd like to speak this afternoon on the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Had we read in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul presents to us there the great subject of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, the word great is often used in our world, and it's sometimes attached to historical figures. So if you have an interest in history, you might want to read about Alexander the Great or Cyrus the Great or some man that this world regards with the title great. But there is none greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 1, we have the communication to Mary of the fact that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, and that she was the virgin that was spoken about in Isaiah chapter 7. And Gabriel communicates to Mary some details about the Lord Jesus. One matter that is communicated to Mary, and later it's communicated separately to Joseph, is the name that is going to be given to this child. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And it's often preached in meetings like this, and often preached here, that there is a significance to that name, an importance to that name. And that name means Jehovah the Savior, or Jehovah is salvation. And so Jehovah is the name Lord that we've read of in the Old Testament. In other words, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And the Lord is the Savior. And that is the great message that is given to Mary and communicated in the Gospels and communicated to us in the New Testament, that the one that we know by the name Jesus is the Savior. And had we read Matthew's gospel and his account of these of details are parallel to this when it was given to Joseph, we would learn what he's going to save us from. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God is interested in saving men and women and young people from their sins. That is the great thrust of the gospel message. We are sinners in the sight of God, and if we remain in that condition, then we are going to be not only eternally excluded from heaven, but we are going to face the consequences of those sins under God's judgment. Now, the great news of the gospel is that Jehovah is the Savior. The Lord Jesus has come, and by his death and resurrection, salvation has been procured. And so the apostle in Titus chapter 2 will tell us, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity. The Lord Jesus' death at the cross is sufficient to bring about salvation for every one of us. There is provision for you. But really, the point we're going to come to is, how do we view the Lord Jesus? What do we think of him? The question is asked, what think ye of Christ? And we're learning here in Luke chapter 1, and when we go back into the Old Testament to Psalm 145, we're learning about the appreciation that some have of the Lord Jesus. So we're learning here, of course, it's Gabriel. He's an angel who's speaking. And Gabriel says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And so we recognize that although the Lord Jesus became a man, he became a baby and wondrously grew up in this world, as the Gospels declare to us, he is the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God. He's one of the Godhead. And he's great because of that. Not only that, as Gabriel communicates to Mary, that there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to reign, literally. And this world is going to be ruled by the Lord Jesus. And so this statement, he shall be great. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 145 had that appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And I want to speak about a few appreciations that the psalmist have, that you might too be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one so great and wonderful as the Lord Jesus. Indeed, he is given that name in Isaiah chapter 9. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so the first thing we notice in verse 3 of Psalm 145 is this: great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And that's what we're seeking to do in your presence this afternoon. We're seeking to praise the name of our Lord Jesus, to extol the person of the Lord Jesus before you, that you might recognize that here is someone I want to come to know. Here is someone I want to trust in. Here is someone who can save me and can deliver me. And it's not of anyone of no account. Here is the greatest person. Great is the Lord, says the psalmist, and greatly to be praised. I wonder whether there is any notes of praise come out of your mouth towards the Lord Jesus. Says the psalmist, he's greatly to be praised. And then he has come to a deep appreciation of the Lord. He says his greatness is unsearchable. And really what he's beginning to grasp and what he's communicating to us in these words is that the greatness of the Lord Jesus is unfathomable. It is beyond computing. It is infinite, if you'll allow me to use that term. And whether we look at his power, the power that brought creation into being, the power that was demonstrated when he raised the dead, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, declared to be the Son of God with power, by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead ones. My dear soul, this afternoon, we want to present to you one who is great in power, and there is no searching of his power. You know, sometimes when we are engaged in an activity, maybe a strenuous activity, we know that our strength can diminish. The very exercise of our power reduces our strength, and our strength needs to be renewed. Not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. His power, like all the other attributes of his person, are untraceable. We think of his grace, we're going to come to that, and his righteousness. These are wonderful things. His greatness is unsearchable. There is no one as great as our God and our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We read in verse number 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. And we want to present to you the fact of one who is not only great in power, but great in goodness. Says Peter in Acts chapter 10, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When men and women came into his presence with a true heart, they discovered that he bestowed goodness upon them. They benefited by being in his presence. They benefited by listening to his words, and they certainly benefited by trusting him. And we want to commend that to you this afternoon. And here the psalmist, he is expressing that wonderful thought, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. I was reading this morning the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a great expression of the goodness of the Lord Jesus, that willingly he would lay down his life for wayward sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well might the psalmist say, thy great goodness. I wonder if you know anything of that in your experience. The goodness of God, the goodness that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Romans in chapter 2, will say this, that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. And so it is a necessary thing that we become conscious of our sins. Conscious of our shortfall, conscious of the fact that we've offended a holy God. And the point of God's goodness as we are brought into this experience is this, the goodness of God leads thee to repentance, leads us to change our mind about ourselves, to see ourselves as God sees us and presents it to us in his words. Repentance is necessary, and we all need to repent. It's a divine command. Says Paul in Acts 17, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why does he do so? Because he wants men and women to experience his goodness. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And so we learn in verse 7, the psalmist says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. You've heard a lot, if you've been in the gospel meeting in recent weeks, you've heard a lot of the truth of God's righteousness. That's why Calvary was necessary, because God is righteous. And yet in the gospel, he presents to us a means whereby we can be right in his presence. Though we're guilty, we can be declared right in his presence. But it's not our righteousness. It's not what we are trying to do to gain favor with God. It's thy righteousness. It's God's righteousness. It is God who provided his son to the death of the cross, whereby the Lord Jesus could effectively deal with God's offense because of sins. Says the psalmist, and shall sing. The idea is this: who shall shout for joy of thy righteousness. And so we who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we're not proclaiming our righteousness just like everybody else, as Isaiah tells us. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we love the words of the New Testament. We have come to trust in the Saviour. And we think of the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians 5, that we have been made the righteousness of God in him. And those of us who are believers, well, we might not shout in an audible way, but the psalmist is using that language, but it's not his righteousness. They shall sing, they shall shout for joy of thy righteousness. And so there is a righteousness that is available, not our own, but God's, but it can be imputed to us. The psalmist continues, not only great goodness and righteousness, but in verse number 8 he speaks about the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. What wonderful words these are. The Lord is gracious. And we're here to tell you that whilst you and I deserve nothing but the judgment of God, let's be clear about that. We have offended a holy God, but God is gracious. That does not mean that God ignores what I am, because that has been dealt with in the cross of Christ, by the death of Christ. But God is willing to allow his grace to be my portion. Says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks of the great love wherewith he has loved us. And he speaks about the fact that God is rich in mercy. And he speaks about the riches of his grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve this. It says that publican in Luke's gospel, the incident the Lord Jesus told, a man who felt keenly his distance from God, his unworthiness, he smote his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he found grace. He found favor. And he went away justified. He went away right with God, because the Lord is gracious. You know, this afternoon, you can be forgiven of every sin that you've committed because of the grace of our God. Says the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That is, there is a release, a deliverance on the payment of a ransom price. The ransom price has been paid. It was the blood of Christ shed at Calvary. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, I don't know how many people have been saved from the moment the gospel was first preached until this point. But I want to say to you, the grace of God is just as full today as it was when it was first preached. And there is provision in God's grace for you. He is gracious and he is full of compassion. Compassion is pity. You know, God, as he looks upon your life and looks upon you, he pities you in your sins. He pities you the way that Your life has been marked by failure. It's not being pleasurable to God, but God is compassionate. That does not mean he will not bring you into judgment if you reject his mercy. He is slow to anger. That does not mean he will never be angry. Indeed, he has no pleasure in the activity of ungodly men and women, but he is marked by compassion. And there is pity. And there is grace. And says the psalmist in verse number 8, great mercy or great kindness. And that is available to you in the gospel. How great is our Lord Jesus Christ? Greatness in power. Greatness in goodness. And what shall we say about his grace and his mercy, his compassion, his patience? Just think about how God has borne with you over the course of your life. Where would any of us be this afternoon if God had struck us down the first years before we came to faith in Christ? Many of us heard the gospel for years before it touched our hearts. How wonderful is God's long-suffering and his patience. But don't presume on it. Don't presume on God's patience with you. God has given you this opportunity. Says the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he reminds us that now is the day of salvation. It's today. Says the Hebrew writer of the words of the Holy Spirit, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh yes, there is grace and there is a compassion, a heart full of compassion, but don't presume on it. The urging of the word of God is this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We've been hearing in the last couple of weeks about calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The call of Peter. And so we learn in verse number 8, the psalmist has come to appreciate this. The Lord is gracious and he is full of compassion and he is slow to anger and he is of great kindness. I wonder if you have that appreciation of the Lord Jesus in all his greatness and in all his glory. We've read in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And I want to just come in conclusion to verse 18. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him. You might say this afternoon, if I was to ask the Lord Jesus to save me, would he hear me? Would he hear if I just said it in my heart? You know, you could shout it at the top of your voice and you say, well, would that reach into heaven? I just listened to these words. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And if there is a call from your heart, Lord, save me, you can be absolutely assured that the Lord will hear. Because he's near and he's able to respond and willing to respond. He says still, in effect, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so here is a promise I want you to think upon this afternoon. The Lord is nigh, the Lord is near unto all them that call upon him. To all them that call upon him in truth. God knows the state of your heart. He knows whether you call sincerely, out of a burden and out of repentance. Says the psalmist, he understandeth my thought afar off. These are incredible words. The Lord Jesus knew the very things that people had heard. If you read John chapter 4, the opening verses. But if you call upon the Lord as you sit in the seats, Maybe just in the quietness of your own heart, you don't need to utter a word. You can be absolutely sure of this. The Lord will hear. And the Lord will respond. And if you call upon him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He shall be saved. If you call, Lord, save me. Just as Peter experienced in Matthew 14, the Lord will indeed save you. We commend the Lord Jesus to you. Just as Gabriel was able to say, he shall be great, we would say with the psalmist in Psalm 145, as we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we have come to know something of his understanding and appreciation. His greatness is unsearchable. And whilst we may be able to speak to you a little bit about the Lord Jesus, we understand that there is a vast ocean that we do not know, but we want to present to you the worth of the Lord Jesus, and we would love if you came to trust him and to know him as your Lord and Saviour, that you too would be able to enter into the appreciation that the psalmist has and expresses here in Psalm 145. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.